Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Payne and Pendergast, Nick Caserio joins us in about 15 minutes. He is ready to go, so we're looking forward to talking to the Texans Executive Vice President and GM. Our last conversation with him before we get to training camp in a handful of weeks, and we will undoubtedly talk to him when we kick off training camp as well. So stay tuned. That's 15 minutes from now. Speaking of Nick Caserio, speaking of the Texans, contractually, they've taken care of a few guys this offseason. The big ones were Derek Stingley Jr., Jalen Petrie, and Danielle Hunter. J.J. Watt actually brought this up yesterday when he was asked about Derek Stingley. He kind of talked about Stingley, but then I thought gave a real good compliment and kind of laid out just exactly why the Texans have, I think, kind of had some success in getting this core locked up.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I mean, we've had some great ones here. Obviously, I play with J. Joe Kareem, some of these great players. But Sting is a phenomenal player, and he's so businesslike in what he does. He just goes down there, locks people up, and goes back to work the next play. Like, he's not the loudest, he's not the most rambunctious, but he just does his job extremely well. And obviously, he got taken care of because of it. I think one of the best things this organization has done is taking care of their players appropriately. You look at Nico's deal now, it's one of the best deals in football. But at the time it was signed, Nico was happy, the team was happy, everybody's happy, and there's none of that animosity of, when are we going to get this deal done? Why isn't this deal getting done? Now Nico goes out there and plays unbelievable football because he's proud, the team put their faith in him, and he can, in turn, pay it. Same with Sting. I mean, look at Daniil getting taken care of. Like, I'm sure Will and CJ coming up. If you take care of your guys the right way early on, they'll repay you in spades.
JJ has shouted that from the rooftops. He's been saying that, not just about the Texans, but about all these teams, you know?
Well, I wonder too, how much of his comments from yesterday are being played up in Pittsburgh right now, where TJ Watt is currently in a contentious situation with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, he's, you know, that's how he feels about his brother, I'm sure.
Yep.
When he started off talking about Stingley, yesterday I went and I had recorded all the press conferences in one long recording. And I just wanted to go through and mark, okay, where each guy began. So Stingley, on the Texans YouTube, Stingley started talking at 33 minutes and 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Chubb started talking after Stingley completed his entire press conference.
Yeah.
So Stingley started at 33 minutes, 12 seconds. Chubb started at 35 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the?
Dude.
It's awesome, man. I love him so much. And it's not like he's a jerk. He's not one of those guys that doesn't want to talk to the media and is a jerk about it. He's up there smiling the whole time.
Yes.
But he gives, like, literally three-word responses. I love it.
Seth, I took it a step further. I actually timed each of his answers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I tweeted it, but I sent it to a couple of people, including Nick. And I said, these are the Stingalytics of the press conference.
Uh-huh.
9 answers. Average answer, 6.3 seconds. That's a fact. That's not me being cute or sarcastic. Derek Stingley Jr. did a press conference where he got 9 questions, which, that's a normal length of a press conference. And we get cuts from Tyler Milner Of all the cuts, like from all the press conferences, usually there's anywhere from like 9 to 12 cuts somewhere in there. So 9 is a normal answer. 6.3 seconds is not a normal length of response at all. The one long answer he gave was about Dino Vasso.
He
went 18 seconds on the Texans' secondary coach.
18 seconds from Derek Stingley.
That may as well have been
you three times as much as everybody else.
He may as well have been Winston Churchill at that point. The 18 seconds up there, you know, it's just up there. 18 seconds of bebopping and scutting on Dino Vasso, man. Oh my God, that was great. That was great.
Dino Vasso does deserve more credit than we talk about, perhaps. And I've said this, he's turning into a nose tackle almost, where you talk so much about how they're underappreciated that they become appropriately appreciated. You think about that secondary and the fact that you had two rookies starting in it last year. Vasso has been with Derek Stingley the entire time.
Yeah.
He's a holdover from the previous staff, so obviously D'Amico had good word of mouth on him, probably out of Philadelphia. The exciting part about that is the potential that, man, if you look at the Chiefs, one of the reasons that they've been as good as they have defensively is that they coach up their defensive backs really, really well.
Yeah.
And they're able to lose free agents here and there or to retirement, and they just roll the next guy up. So that's where hopefully, man, if there's a Jalen Smith effect here. And by the way, it sounds like they were playing out there in dime six defensive backs a lot yesterday, where both Petrie and Jalen Smith were on the field.
That's
fun to think. If you can stop the run when you're in dime, that's the key. So Jalen Petrie's really got to play like a linebacker in those situations. It really opens up a whole lot of possibilities.
We've got a few texts here. We'll get to them. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:15 on the show. So if you're a normal 7 o'clock listener, know that we're going to jump out here in a few minutes, and we've kind of restructured the break. So we're going to go 7:15 all the way up to just before 8 o'clock with Nick Caserio. This is interesting. This goes back to you and I talking about Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon a little bit earlier in the show, Seth. Could Chubb and Mixon be what they have in Detroit with a two running back attack?
I think, no, not necessarily just because Jahmyr Gibbs as a receiver is such a thing. So I think if you want a Detroit Lions type of scenario, you got to look at there's the package deal of Mixon and Chubb, and then Woody Marks is your receiving threat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really not trying to pigeonhole Woody Marks into being a third down back. But as a rookie, with those two running backs and Damian Pierce ahead of him as the all-purpose type backs, I think you look at Woody Marks initially, you'll probably use as a third down back. And then they'll work him in as they see fit. Neither Joe Mixon nor Nick Chubb have ever been huge as receivers out of the backfield. Obviously, they can do it.
They've got that skill
set.
Yeah, they've got that skill set for sure. Someone said J.J. Watt could beat out Dalton Schultz at tight end right now on the text page.
Sign him as a gadget tight end during the playoffs.
He's got more of a gadget tight end physique right now. I know, as you said, that we can trigger the defensive end physique with just a few good workouts, but if he were to just want to rip off that t-shirt he had on yesterday, cool t-shirt, by the way, JJ. That was a cool Texans t-shirt he had. If he were just to rip that off and say, you know what, I want to get in there right now, spot tight end would probably be it. And JJ's got the film for it too, man. Those three touchdown catches he had in 2014 were no joke. A couple of them. One was a toe tapper in the back corner against the Browns, and one was a diver at the goal line against the Titans.
JJ as a receiver is kind of like a gargantuan version of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Big catch radius,
yes.
Gigantic hands.
Huge hands.
And JJ, man, I'll tell you what, this is the thing I hate about JJ Watt. All right? of the many things I hate about JJ Watt, this is the thing I hate most. Honestly, he's one of those people when you meet him, you feel like a little boy because he's got these gigantic hands. He's got the frame of a guy that could easily play offensive tackle.
Yes.
You know, and you just feel like, oh, I'm not actually a man, am I? What the hell?
Yep. Yeah, man.
He's
something else. Texter says, I imagine D'Amico Ryans feels like he could come back for a snap or two also. Yeah, like I think the players say that about D'Amico. Quite a bit is that he's, you know, he always feels like he's chomping at the bit to get in there. D'Amico.
The other guy, JJ Watt, the other fact that flashed to me, J.R. Richard is the other guy I've had that feeling about. When I met J.R. Richard, who at the time was, 70 or so.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this guy could kick my ass.
Yeah, large
His
individual,
hands
man.
Are so big.
Can you imagine being in the batter's box with that guy on the mound? How intimidating that was. This is great. Texter, imagine trying to fill 45 minutes with Caserio if he were giving Stingley level answers. No, you can count on Nick for you know, Nick is a good innings eater from that standpoint. He gives good lengthy answers. He's not he doesn't have that Stingley vibe. 6.3 seconds per answer.
Average answer. Meltzer and I interviewed, I can't remember which player this was. It was a defensive back way back in the day. Not a starter, but we had him coming off the field during training camp, and every answer was like three words.
Yeah.
And one of them we said, like, hey, so how'd practice go out there today? And he said, prat good. Not practice good. Prat good.
Didn't even give you full words.
That was his whole answer.
Yeah,
like, looking at each other like, hey, what did he say?
Speaking to you like my son Sammy texts me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like the abbreviations and acronyms and whatnot. All right. Nick Caserio ready to join us. He's going to join us in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on Texans minicamp, the signing of Nick Chubb, the offseason C.J. Stroud has had, the offensive line. We'll get into all of that with Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager, coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, there it is. The DX theme music, like an anthem for Payne and Pendergast when this man joins us. Final time here before we get to training camp in a few weeks as the Texans wrap up mandatory minicamp yesterday. And it's been a busy offseason, and looking forward to time. We've had some news over the last few days with the signing of Nick Chubb, so we got a lot of stuff to get into here. With our good friend, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager, Nick Caserio. Nick, it's great to have you on as always. Derek Stingley Jr., 9 responses, 6.3 seconds. Your thoughts on the Stingalytics of his press conference yesterday?
Morning, fellas. Good to be here. Probably means he won't be on Jericho's list after that response. Actually, I was just talking to Omar about this. Chubb's response was probably even better when I asked him about, you know, when did you kind of, what's your sense of what's going on? And he said, yeah, I showed up. nobody talks that much and they just work. I mean, it was music to our ears, so it was great to hear. Sting, Chubb, Daniil was a little bit more vociferous. He had a few more things to say, but he has a little more experience, so he's been around a little bit. So we'll give him some slack on that.
Nick, all these people from Cleveland were, you know, people I talked to, and then you read it everywhere, and Cleveland fans will say, the guy's got no ego, Nick Chubb. That, man, he's just all about business, just wants to work and everything. And then I was kind of caught off guard yesterday when he responded to a question and he said he was trying to figure out why the Texans wanted him. And despite his injury history and everything, I was kind of taken aback at hearing that from a guy who's been a star running back in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah, Nick's been a good player in this league for a number of years. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, go back in the Wayback Machine. So I forget what year, whatever year it was that he came out. So he and Sony Michel were in the same backfield, Georgia, and Sony wasn't the most talkative either. So I'm not sure who got the word in edgewise at Georgia, but those were two good players. We ended up drafting Sony at 32. Cleveland took Nick really with the next pick in the second round, or 33 or 34, whatever it was. They were two good players. Sony had a pretty good career, had curtailed a little bit with some injuries, and Nick had the injuries coming out, and he, you know, has done a really good job. I mean, number of years, he's very productive. He's dealt with some things in 23 and 24. I mean, happens to a lot of players, unfortunately. So, I mean, he was a player that D'Amico and I had discussions about, and we felt like there's similar, I would say similar, not the same, but along the lines of kind of what we did with speed. You look at that position, have a number of good players, talking about the linebacker room, a number of players that had played a lot of football, been productive, whether it was Aziz, Christian, or Henry, and then adding EJ in this situation, similar. You know, DP's done a good job for us. You know, Joe had a productive season. I think we always view it as if there's an opportunity out there that makes sense with the right player, and if we can fit it in financially, then it's worth exploring. And that's kind of how we arrive at the end point with Nick. But Nick's he's a workmanlike player. He's very workmanlike in his approach. He says less, does more. And I think that certainly resonates with our building and our program.
Nick, we actually played some audio from Joe Mixon from last season a little earlier in the show, where he was asked by Chris Long about Nick Chubb coming back from his knee injury last year. And it's very clear the two have a close relationship. They came out the same time in high school. Is something like this, where you're signing Nick Chubb, is that something that – do you talk to Joe through that process at all as you bring Nick Chubb in?
At different points. I mean, it's always case by case. We'll certainly talk to our players about different players that they may have experience with. I think sometimes on a personal level, I mean, a lot of players, and Seth can probably speak to this, you just cultivate relationships on a player-to-player basis, and you're certainly respectful of those relationships. So as you work through the process, if you feel like you need to have a conversation with somebody or get more information, then we'll do it. If not, and I think that case is probably a little bit more, there's a mutual respect for one another, and we try not to intervene too much or get involved in those.
Yeah. Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. All right, Nick, so C.J. Stroud throws at minicamp this week, so were you able to take our DEFCON gauge here down from DEFCON 1 back down to DEFCON 4?
Did you guys take a poll on that? Was that like
don't
a
worry.
It's,
I actually did at one point about how
Sean had to take my pulse. That's how nervous I was.
No, Nick, I actually did do a poll about how concerned people were when C.J.
Sorry, I missed it. I didn't see it, Sean. Sorry.
You didn't vote? You didn't get out and vote, Nick? Come on. So CJ's throwing, he looked great in minicamp. So I guess the question I'd have about CJ would be, look, you can tell he's put in some work in the weight room. This felt like a very different offseason for CJ compared to the one coming off his rookie year. Can you speak to that a little bit? Was there a different focus for CJ this time? How collaborative were you guys on that and how CJ attacked this offseason as opposed to last offseason?
Sure. Every year is different. When you finish the season, whatever year that is, everybody takes a little bit of time, kind of recalibrate and kind of focuses on what do we need to do for the 2025 season. So I think we've talked about this on the show. We have a number of players that have the right mindset that are about the work and are about improving and getting better as football players. And going back to February through March, even before the offseason program, we had a number of players that were here. Early on, February, March, it might be a combination of in the building, out of the building, but, you know, they're getting work. I think CJ, when he does leave Houston, he goes out to California. I think he has some resources and some people that he utilizes, I think, out there at UCLA, so where he can actually get his work in. But he was here. He mentioned it the other day, the work that he did with Mike Eubanks and Clint, you know, how they helped him in his overall development. So training's important. And as it pertains to – and D'Amico, when he was asked about this, I mean, I honestly think it was much ado about nothing. I think the spring, we were just trying to make good, smart decisions, just manage the players as we see fit. And then just in the end, the focus is on getting him ready for training camp. So had a good attitude when he was in the building. He obviously trained and worked on his body and his overall strength development, which that's what the offseason program is usually for. We have a number of players who have made significant strides in those areas, kind of have the foundation in place relative to offensive system and some of the things that Nick has implemented. So now it's about training camp, and you'll have a better sense and feel for your team. Once you get into training camp, you know, we feel like there's a decent amount of competition on the team, and we'll kind of let it sort itself out. But relative to CJ, he's put in the work. He's put himself in a good position. So I think all players is important, even though we kind of have this 40-day window here. I mean, there's still an element of work that you have to put in order to make sure that you're ready to go for the rigors of training camp.
Nick, CJ said yesterday that he's been watching some 2003 and 2004 film of Tom Brady, what he was like as a young quarterback. I want to play a little game with you. I want you to tell me whether you think this is CJ Stroud or a previous Texans quarterback when asked about watching Tom Brady on film. I'm going to alter the quote a little bit to keep it anonymous.
Oh, so you're trying to confuse me, which isn't very hard to do.
So you're going to tell me, is this CJ or is this a previous Texans quarterback? Quote, they refer to Tom Brady a lot. With all due respect to Coach, I told him, I'm going to be me. I'm not here to be a puppet, if you will. I'm going to be who I am and believe in what I bring to the table every day. Unquote.
That sounds like something you would say to your defensive line coach.
That was a previous Texans court. It was Brock Osweiler. You don't have to comment on Brock Osweiler.
He's doing a good job in college football.
He's not bad. He really is.
Yeah, he doesn't want to hear about Tom Brady. Don't talk to him about Tom Brady. Yeah. He's his own man. I don't expect that CJ is approaching it that same way. I'm intrigued by the fact that, and I was really happy to hear that he's watching 2003, 2004 Tom Brady, because that was when, as you've told us before, man, Tom Brady was not like the classic, you know, chess master that we think of back in 2003 and 2004. What does CJ take from those early days of Tom Brady and, you know, probably doing, you know, operating perhaps in some of the same ways, or at least hoping to operate in some of the same ways?
Sure. There's a few things. There's likely a system element, let's say the foundation of the offense, even going back to 2003 and 2004, a lot of those concepts, whether it's protection systems, route distribution, route concept, formationing, those have carried through the years over the course of, call it 20 to 25 years, however long it's been. As it pertains to individual quarterback techniques and those types of things, you always have to be careful about trying to extrapolate, well, this player does this, you're going to try to do the same thing. I think any player, it's good to watch other players, and really what you're trying to do is maybe there's one or two things that you can focus on that you can apply to what you do or what you have as a player in order to enhance your overall productivity. So it's probably a combination of system element, what we call this, here's what happened on this play, here's what we were looking for, because there's a library of information that goes back a number of years. And then as it pertains to playing quarterback, that 2003 season, and I probably have mentioned this or talked about this, when you look at Tom's career, it was almost like two careers within one. You kind of had the 01 to kind of 10, you know, group, and then 10 to 20 or whenever he left. And you know, he wasn't a starter until 2002. We weren't very good. We were 9-7. And then we, you know, turned the team over there a little bit. And then 03 and 04, you know, we were fortunate enough to put ourselves in a position, have an opportunity to win some Super Bowls. And then Tom continued to, I would say, grow as a player. So again, you have to, through the lens of what they're looking for, is it technique specific? Is it as it pertains to the fundamentals, or is it system specific? And it's probably some combination of the two. And you're always, everybody is watching other players and picking and choosing, but you just have to figure out what can I utilize and apply that's going to help me in the current situation.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, just as a follow-up to that, you know, a lot's been made, you know, CJ was asked about it himself, and a lot's been made about CJ now having control of the offense, more control of the offense this year in Nick Haley's offense than maybe he had in previous years. How equipped do you feel like CJ is for that? How is he doing? How is he coming along with that? And I guess just in general, like, what exactly is that going to look like? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's always a process, so it's never anything happens overnight. So once you learn the kind of the terminology and the vernacular, that's step one. Step two is it's really about the communication mechanism. So who helps drive the communication? Sometimes it's the center. He handles all the communication. There's other systems where the quarterback sets the protection system, makes the mic identification, and then the communication kind of goes top down, and then the line gets it distributed inside out. So it's some combination. The most important thing is, are you seeing it the same way? Is the offensive line seeing it the same way as a quarterback is seeing it, and vice versa? And then it's understanding like where your issues or where your problems are, and then what's the solution. So, and it takes time. You have to immerse yourself in film. You have to immerse yourself in meetings. You have to go on the field and do it. And there's going to be probably a little bit of a trial and error that takes place. In the case of CJ, he was able to handle the run game. The run game, the mic identification is a part of that. So he was a part of all the group run installations. He was on the field in the run periods. So getting the blockers distributed right, who's the mic, where's the force, do we have to motion the guy across to get him in proximity where he can block that area? So there's plenty of work that you can get done. In the passing game, that's probably the next step. There's going to be some things, all right, against this coverage, against this look, here's what we're going to do. But really, everything starts with the front, and it's understanding what's the protection system we're utilizing, who's the mic ID, and then everything kind of emanates off of that. So it's a process. I mean, everybody goes through. I mean, I'd say Tom went through it, and you know, and then got to a point where even though he had a lot of experience, each year it was, all right, let's go back and reintroduce it and establish a foundation. And then I would say as the more time you spend in a system, you can make some tweaks as you go and add some adjustments to account for the problem. So the big thing for the quarterback is just understanding where your issues are, and do we have a solution to that problem? And there's many ways that you can build that in.
Is there, you know, when you go from quarterback to quarterback in the NFL, or you talk to younger quarterbacks, is there kind of a transition that guys make from college to the NFL, and then while they're in the NFL, and understanding that, yes, the quarterback is responsible for the run game as well as the pass? It's just like, it's not, you don't compartmentalize it and the quarterback's a passer. No, like you can control the run game.
Yeah, Seth, that's probably the biggest adjustment that quarterbacks have to make. It can, depending on the system with which you go into or where you're drafted. Because, again, you're really just trying to get the blockers distributed the right way. And let's say the defense has an extra player somewhere that you can't account for. What's your solution? And you have to be able to understand the dynamics of the play. And a lot of times the run is going to be married with some kind of run action or play action. So you kind of want to make them look the same. That's probably one of the biggest adjustments. It's a really good question that quarterbacks have to make, because the way offensive football is in college, there's a certain speed and pace with which they play. So it's really put the ball down and then you're going. So you're not necessarily worried about who's the mic, where are we going. You're just hoping to catch the defense a little bit off balance. And I'd say some defenses maybe in college are maybe a little bit more equipped to handle the pace and the speed. And do you have to offensively slow it down and say, okay, hold on, let's reset, let's alert it or whatever. But the pace of play in college football is just so fast. I mean, really, when you watch teams play, it's how quickly can we get to the line? How fast can we get the playoff? Sometimes that works in our league. Other times it's get to the line, all right, simulate you're going fast, and then, all right, what are they doing? And then what's our solution? So it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game, and it probably goes on a little bit more in our level than it does in college. But I think the run game, you probably have better understanding or need to have more of an understanding of the run game, because there's certain runs you just can't block the defense if it's mismatched. So you have to get out of the play or have a solution. That's probably where you have to spend the most time.
Well, I just had a flashback to from a defensive lineman's perspective. There was a time back when I was playing, there was a young quarterback that us defensive linemen were trying to tell him, listen, we know you're not handing the ball off here, or we know that this is going to be like your body language is telling us, and he refused to listen. And it was driving us insane because he could see it and we're telling him. And like, so that's why I love hearing about CJ talking to the defensive players all the time and asking for their input, because I think some young quarterbacks really, they don't understand how smart the defensive players can be and like how much they're picking up on you. Cause like you said, They've got all this time to watch. They've got all this time to figure things out on film. And some young guys just flat out don't get it.
you're 1,000% correct. And I think the good thing you want to see with your team is you want to work with the other side of the ball, whether it's talk to Matt Burke. Hey, what were you guys trying to do on that play? Okay, again, nobody's trying to kind of get anybody. We're trying to help one another. We want to create competition. But I would say as an offensive player, the more you understand what's going on the defensive side of the ball, it's only going to help you. So whether it's a corner saying, hey, look, on this coverage, here's what we're showing. I'm using this technique. Here's the reason why. But when I do this, it's a little bit different. Or with the front. And I think our defense does a great job of showing one thing and presenting disguise and then playing something different. And you grow as a team that way. So as a player, if you want information and you're willing to absorb the information, everybody's here to help one another. So use the resources that you have. That was something, I mean, our players do it, which you want to see. CJ talk to Sting or, you know, Petrie or Bullock or Lassiter or Aziz, Coach Burke. I mean, I'd say we had a lot of that in New England as well. We had fortunate to have a number of smart players, but Tom would talk to Vrabel. Tom would talk to Brewski, and they would, I mean, again, there was healthy competition, but you're trying to help one another. Yeah. And then when you're getting ready to play an opponent, one of the things that we try to do with their look teams is make sure they understand we want this look to look this way. Here's the reason why, because it's going to help you as a player on Sunday. So, but I was just saying, you know, I was fortunate to kind of learn both sides of the ball. The more you have an understanding of what's going on the other side of the ball, it's only going to help you in whatever your discipline is that you're working in.
The Texans Executive Vice President and GM Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, you mentioned the center position. And I know it's OTAs and mandatory minicamp, so these things are probably going to change as you guys actually put pads on and have guys block. But it looks like what has been the first unit has had Jake Andrews running at center when you've got a couple guys on the team who've been center for this team with Jared Patterson and Juice Scruggs. What is it about Andrews that has him running? It seems like running with the ones pretty definitively, or am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were here for a handful of days. I think they were open, and I think, honestly, we rolled a lot of guys through during the course of the spring. I mean, we had 8 practices. I'd say each practice is probably a little bit different. So we'll roll a lot of guys through there. I'd say we have a lot of players that have experience putting their hand on the ball. So, you know, Jake has experience, I would say, in the system going back to New England, even though it was different. I mean, there's some elements that carry over. JP's done a good job for us, and Juice has played well with his opportunities. Juice kind of has a little bit of flexibility, kind of center guard. He started games at center for us. He started games at guard for us and provided a good level of play. There's probably a likelihood you're going to need 2 or 3 centers. I mean, you just look at our experience. My experience is at some point you're going to need somebody. Something's going to happen, and you're going to need multiple players that, you know, can play center. So, but overall, that group has done a pretty good job. They've worked. We've had, I know we have 15 or 16, however many offensive linemen we have on the roster. And other than Trent, everybody has been out there essentially working, you know, which is good to see. So we think it'll be really good competition. Got competition inside. We have competition on the perimeter at tackle as well. You know, figure out. We know we're going to have 8 at the game each week because you get the extra linemen. So we got 8. How many we carry on the roster? You know, where's our depth? I mean, those are things that will kind of let the competition sort itself out. But you know, Jake was a player coming out. You know, we had decent grades on him when he was coming out of Troy. He has experience with Coach Popovich. I mean, Coach Cole was the offensive coordinator at Troy that last year there when Jake, you know, was a center. So, you know, there's some, I would say, experience with one another. It doesn't necessarily guarantee or mean anything. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of it just kind of getting Jake up to speed here a little bit. So, but it's been a good group. And that group, I mean, like the team collectively has put in a lot of good work throughout the course of the spring. I'm excited to see the competition sort itself out here in training camp.
When I look at some of the additions on the offensive line, the first thing that jumped out at me, if I think back on the whole offseason, is, okay, you got Cam Robinson, 6'6", 335 pounds or so. Ariante Ursery, 6'6", 335 pounds or so. Trent Brown, 6'21", and however much he weighs. Like,
8'12". Yeah, no, he's there's not a bigger human being in the league than Trent Brown. Maybe the defensive tackle down there in Tampa from Florida, but, I mean, him and Trent could duke it out in a sumo wrestling match over there, maybe.
Yeah, he's like something you'd see at a circus. He's gigantic. What is he? Was there an emphasis on that, or is that just kind of the way it rolled out this year that you brought in a lot of size?
Probably a little happenstance there, Seth. I don't think it's, well, we're going to get, you know, a bunch of guys that are, you know, 6'12 into the building. So, but, you know, at some point, you know, length is a component. I know there's a lot of discussion at length. Well, he's got short arms or he's not tall enough. I mean, Matt Light was 6'4.5 had 32-inch arms and played left tackle at a high level for 10, 11 years or whatever it was. So it's all what they do with their size. Like, do they play to their size? Do they use their length to their advantage? So, you know, you might have undersized guys who, you know, are good football players. I mean, you look at a guy like Shaq Mason. I mean, he's 6'1", 6'1 and a half. And, you know, Shaq played a lot of good football for a number of years. So in the end, it's about your technique. It's about your fundamentals. And I would say bigger players, taller players, you got to make sure that your weight's distributed properly, that you play with good body position, you play with good knee bend. Because in the end, those are the things that are going to be relevant. And if you have a little bit of extra length, you know, again, think about this. You're blocking Danielle Hunter, who's 6'5 and a half, that's got 35-inch arms, who can threaten the edge. So if you have a little bit of extra length that can hold them off for maybe a split second, maybe that makes a difference. But I would say, you know, Rashawn Slater, I mean, he's not the tallest left tackle, but, I mean, the guy's, like, one of the best tackles in the league. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's always case by case there a little bit. But to your question, it wasn't, well, we need to get longer and we need to get necessarily bigger. It's just kind of, I'd say, how it happened to work itself out more than anything.
It is, though, man. Whether it happens naturally or whatever, like when you go against an offensive line that has a bunch of long guys, like tall, long guys on it, it feels like you're going against a Jim Boeheim zone defense. Like you're just like these bastards. The actual offensive line ends up being 4 foot longer than your normal offensive line. So I trust it. If it's just happenstance, fine. I like dreaming of the possibility of just a bunch of gargantuan, you know, Jonathan Ogden types out there.
It's a good conspiracy theory. No question. Yeah. We had like short tackles, tall tackles in New England. Nate Solder was 6'8", and think Sebastian Vollmer was like 6'7". And then we had, you know, Matt Light and some other players. I mean, Marcus Cannon was a bigger body. So, you know, look, if you have a little bit of extra length, it might help. But in the end, it's just how well do you get the guy blocked on a line of scrimmage
important
thing.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. And sorry to you guys if I'm a little rattled. Nick said the words, imagine you're blocking Danielle Hunter, and I immediately soiled myself, and now I had to take a break. Seth knows I'm frightened by Danielle Hunter.
Sean goes all beta male whenever Danielle Hunter comes
around. I don't know what it is.
Around.
He scares
he feels
me.
Like he's, yeah, and he's like, he's the most mild-mannered dude on earth.
But look at it. He said yesterday, Nick, he's put on 5 pounds of muscle. Like, that felt like a warning alarm to the rest
is
of the
league.
Is that
even possible?
Exactly right.
I don't get My theory is that he just decided to try creatine for the first time. Because that'll put 5 pounds on you in 48 hours. So
whatever creatine he's taking is different than the creatine I'm taking, that's for sure.
No doubt. Yeah. No.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Doubt. Nick Caserio joining us on the program. Nick, D'Amico said in one of his press conferences within the last week or so that Christian Harris will be ready to go for training camp. Obviously, Christian struggled with the injuries last year. What can you tell us about where Christian is at right now?
Yeah, hopefully he'll be good to go. So, I mean, he's unfortunately had some bad luck here over the last few years. I think he's shown when he's available and he's on the field, he can be a very effective player for us. So he's done what he's able to do. I'd say we have different players throughout the course of spring in different categories. They're doing what they're capable of doing. And then the target right now is, what are we going to have? Who's going to be available for training camp? The expectation is that he'll be ready for training camp. So we'll go through these next however many weeks. There are going to be some guys that continue to train, continue to rehab, and, you know, those couple weeks there before training camp, you know, guys will be back in the building. So we'll have the most up-to-date information. And then once we start training camp, you know, hopefully we'll have a better idea where some of these players are. But the expectation is that he'll be available and ready to go. If he's not, then we'll handle it accordingly and go from there.
You know, Sean and I talk about this quite a bit. When we have these mysterious injuries like a Kyle Tucker or a Yordan Alvarez or a Christian Harris, that I tend to stick up for the medical staff a little bit more than Sean, just in that it's always murkier than we want to believe it is, that sometimes you just flat out don't know. With Christian Harris, it obviously ended up being murkier than you guys expected it to be. Have you been able to maybe identify the problem at least, or figure some things out?
Yeah, and look, I think the point that you're making, you know, Seth, is fair. I mean, sometimes medical people, I mean, in the end, it's not, you know, anything that they did or didn't do. Sometimes it's, in the end, the players, their bodies, they respond a little bit differently. So what's their training? Do they have a gap in their training? Did they miss a day? Because, again, at some point, I would just say this, like, the players have to be accountable as well. If something happens to a player, you got to be careful about displacing that onto somebody else. Ultimately, the players are responsible for their training, for their body, for their habits, what they do, how they approach it. If something happens or pops up, okay, then you have to figure out from a medical standpoint, what can we do and how do we do what's in the best interest of the players to get him back on the field. So, again, everybody's intentions are good. You know, nobody wants to, hey, if something happens, they want somebody to get hurt or misdiagnose something on purpose. So there's a lot of doctors that are out there. We got a lot of smart doctors here in Houston. We have a number of people that help our team. And then you have other people outside of Houston and other areas who are experts in their area. So again, our job is to try to understand what's the issue. Can we identify the situation? Can we get the information? And then what's the solution and how we're going to handle it? And then let's move forward. Let's not worry about what's happened in the past.
Nick Caserio joining us on the show. Hey, Nick, shifting gears over to the wide receiver position. It's interesting, just sort of the transformation of that position, just from an age standpoint, where now you look up, Nico Collins was a young player. Now you look up with some of the turnover that's gone on in that room and the guys you brought in. He's like the unk guy in that room. Yeah, exactly. I'm curious your thoughts on that, sort of being Nico's room now and how equipped he is to be the example and the leader for that young group.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate. I mean, that room is a collection of a lot of good players and a lot of pros. Like, even a player like Kirk, even though he's been in the league a long time, he's still a younger player. So I think they work well together. Ben McDaniels does a phenomenal job with that group. I mean, Nico's been here, what's this, year five? He's going into year five or whatever it is. And again, you know, Nico's a good player. I mean, this isn't some mystery here. So I would say when you look at the way that Nico works and his habits and his approach, if I was in that room, I would probably watch that player as well. And Nico doesn't say a lot either. He's kind of in the chub category. Kirk's the same way. You know, which is why they probably all get along. And I think our team overall, if you were asking me to define this team, like, what's the spring been like? I mean, it's been about very diligent, purposeful work. So we have a team that shows up, they work, they go out there, they work well with one another, they practice well together, they try to help each other. We don't really have a lot of riffraff going on. We don't have a lot of distractions. They go out there, they do their job. And honestly, that starts with D'Amico and his messaging on the front end. Here's what the expectation is. So work works, and we emphasize that, because in the end, if you want to be a good football player, it's about the work. There's nothing else. There's no other magical formula that you can actually go out there and find. If you want to be good, you have to work. So what does that look like? You show up, your feet are on the ground, all right? You're focused on the job at hand. What are we trying to accomplish today? All right, we're going to practice from 9:45 to 11, and then once we're done practicing, we're going to go in the weight room and we're going to train. and we're working on our recovery, and we're going to get stronger. So, I mean, if you do that, like, at least you have a shot to be a good football player and to give yourself an opportunity to compete on this team. But that receiver room, we feel like there's a number of good players in there, young and old, if you want to call it. You know, Nico's a little bit older, but overall, it's a pretty young room. Even Justin Watson. Watson's been in the league here a little bit, but he's still a younger player. So it'll be interesting to watch that competition, and, you know, we'll keep as many as we feel that is necessary. And, you know, I'd say the Iowa State kids have come in here and done a really good job as well. And, I mean, just anecdotally, I mean, talk about work. I mean, you know, we practice, and then Jalen, you know, has kind of missed a few practices here, but I mean, a weight room is right outside of D'Amico in my office. And, you know, one day we kind of look around and you hear a bunch of noise, and you got the jugs machine set up in the weight room, and you got Higgins and Noel with their helmets on catching balls off the jugs basically after their meetings or after practice, you know, and just because they're trying to work on their craft and get better. So we didn't have to tell them anything. They're doing that on their own. I mean, so I'd say that's a good place to start. And those are the things that you have to do in order to be a successful football player.
Has it been, I guess, fun or interesting for you with Nick Caley, in that you both started off at the same place and you go to different places and you're gonna learn different ways of doing things, et cetera? Has it been fun kind of comparing notes with him in that regard?
Yeah, I try to leave Nick alone, so I think everybody's probably sick of being around me. But, you know, Nick's done a good job, I think, of just trying to be himself and put his imprint on the offense and try to figure out, like, what's the offense look like for the Houston Texans. I think Nick's background, and we've talked about this on the show when he got hired, you know, he has experience in multiple systems. So you have to figure out what elements of each system do you think you want to utilize? What do you want that to look like? And in the end, it's about what the players can handle. So you can have whatever system, you can try to put something in, whatever you think is going to work as a coach. But if the players can't absorb it and understand it and then go out there and apply it, then it doesn't really matter. So I think Nick has a good amount of humility where he doesn't act like he has all the answers. He's going to try to figure out what's best for the players and maybe pull some things from some different experiences. But I think Nick's worked really hard. He's had a good attitude. And it's really, from his perspective, it's just been about putting the foundation in place, and most of the offense is in. And then once training camp starts, we'll go back and kind of reintroduce it. But, you know, in a pretty good spot. And Nick's come in here and just been himself, which is all you can ask for a coach or a player.
Okay, so he's obviously a high energy guy, and very like intense, but like in a seemingly positive type of way. Yep. What was he like as a young guy in New England? Like, was he one of these guys you had to like calm down, whippersnapper too?
I think when we're all younger coaches, you have a lot of energy. You just want to make sure that you're displacing the energy the right way. But I'd say the way that he coaches the offense is very similar to the way that he coached the tight ends in New England. He's got a lot of energy. Nick's a very positive kid, but it's genuine. It's not a lot of fake positivity. Like, we've all been around people who have that fake positivity, and you can, you know, smell it a mile away. Yeah. But Nick's not about that. Nick's about just communication. He's about energy. And I would say that's really emblematic of our team. When you look at our coaches, they're, you know, they coach, they teach, they communicate effectively. There's a lot of juice. I mean, it starts with D'Amico. Like, nobody has more than him. And then that trickles down to when you look at Matt Burke. I mean, we could probably have a 12-hour discussion about Frank Ross and just his level of energy and his juice, and then Nick Caley. So, again, whatever you are as a coach, your job, just be who you are. Don't try to be something that you're not because you feel like you got to force feed. And I think that's the one thing with our building, with people. Come in here and be yourself. So whatever you think is going to work, you go ahead and do it. If there's something that we have to get fixed or correct or have to dial it down in some area, we'll have a discussion about it, and then we'll keep moving forward. But I would say a lot of what you're seeing from Nick, just overseeing the offense, is similar to what we saw in New England in our time together.
Okay, so over on the defensive side, how's it been with C.J. Gardner-Johnson so far? Because that feels like we're throwing a stick of dynamite onto a bigger pile of dynamite right now.
Yeah, no, he's been good. Yeah, he's been good. He was here kind of for the early part of OTAs, and then he kind of was doing some work on his own, and then he was here the past couple days for mini camp. So honestly, he's been good to work with. So we haven't heard him that much, so maybe they'll come out in training camp. But like, he's blended in well. You know, looking forward to working with him a little bit more, and you know, getting him ready to go for training camp.
Okay, Sean and I have a pet theory about some of the contracts that you've been doing lately. Tell us if we're completely off base or not. Yeah, I'm going to do a conspiracy theory YouTube video.
Conspiracy radio here at 6:10.
Yeah, maybe. We're heading into the slow time, Nick. It may turn into that.
This is where, no, we were just curious because we were kind of thinking about, I was telling Sean that, like, you know, I've always felt that So a lot of times players are too fixated on being the highest paid player in terms of average per year or the total money on the contract, where if I've always felt like players should be more focused on, man, guaranteed money, short-term contracts, prove it, and then you don't have any drama. And like a lot of the contracts that you've given out in the last few years have been short-term, lots of guaranteed money. Danielle Hunter is probably the ultimate example of that. And I felt like, man, it seems like the guys that maybe really get it and aren't too wrapped up in their ego and everything understand the value of a shorter-term deal with lots of guaranteed money. Financially, it makes a lot of sense. Is there any kind of correlation that you've seen between that, that like maybe the guys that are just like a little more dialed in on the things that matter aren't always necessarily as concerned about having the highest average per year or the largest total contract?
Sure. Every player is different. And, you know, and I'm going to speak for players, but I mean, obviously, you know this. Certain players prioritize some things over others. And you know, part of our job, part of my role is understanding what's important to the player. And it doesn't mean that you get mad at a player because he prioritizes something that maybe you would prioritize. Can't really worry about that. So anytime you enter a negotiation, you try to have an idea and understanding what's important to the player. Okay, what are we comfortable from a length standpoint? Does this make sense? And when you look at the contracts that we've done, we're all over the map, right? We've done one-year deals, we've done two-year deals, we've done three-year extensions, we've done four-year deals, whatever the case may be. In the end, part of my job and responsibility is to have the give and take with the agent. I think and I'm not trying to be derogatory here, but ultimately it's the player's decision and choice about what they think is important. Because ultimately, like, it's your career and you got to make the decision that you feel is best for yourself. Now, can you get counsel and direction from some folks? And maybe their intentions potentially could be different than whatever your intentions are. So our job in the end is to say, look, this is what we feel is fair. Are you comfortable with it or not? Any negotiation, it's not about, quote unquote, winning a negotiation. We've never gone into any negotiation that way. Honestly, well, we don't believe in that. I don't believe in that personally because it's not a good way to run, I would say, an organization. There's going to be some give and take. In the end, you want everybody to be comfortable and, you know, feel that they're being compensated appropriately. And if the team's comfortable and the player's comfortable, then it's good for everybody involved. And then the player can internalize it and process it however they see fit. So say every situation is different. But in the end, look, let's not put our head in the sand here. I mean, money's a part of our game and the players want to be well compensated, as they should. I mean, the big thing is go out there and play good football and you'll probably, you know, be compensated accordingly. So, and then you're going to get whatever you earn. So we're pretty open-minded. We're pretty flexible and we try to maintain good discourse and dialogue with agents along the way and try to do what we feel is in the best interest of not only the player, but the club ultimately as well.
All right, Nick, we know we got to get you up and out of here. I'm asking this on behalf of Seth. What books are you bringing to the Cape to read when you're taking some time off?
Great question. So I'm actually going to bring, it's a book of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Essentially, it's got all there, the shareholder meetings and insights. It's a pretty thick book. So I thought to myself, yeah, this will probably be appropriate for summer. And, you know, I'll probably finish off a few of the books. I mean, not to go like nerd on y'all, but, you know, I've tried to over the last, you know, it's the beginning of the year, I have a list that I'm keeping. I'm on, you know, every 1 or 2 weeks, you know, finishing one off. So I'm just trying to keep it moving there a little bit. I read a big book about Bitcoin, trying to learn about that a little bit. I was reading this. I just read a, you know, kind of
find out how I can find my lost passcode from the one I my Bitcoin passcode is on a post-it note in a landfill somewhere, but it's out there.
I don't own any Bitcoin yet. So I'm Coinbase, so my broker doesn't allow me to buy Bitcoin yet. But no, I'd say finance to behavioral science. I just finished off. It's called The Honest Truth About Dishonesty. And it's about essentially like how we sometimes probably lie to ourselves more than we realize it. And just, you know, it's about just behavior science and personal behavior. So kind of thought provoking, but yeah. I'm sure I'll have my head in a book somewhere and just try to get a little bit smarter. I need a lot of help. So I'll see.
I've read three of the books you recommended from last year. And I know I'm going to do a 3 hour long podcast episode with you whenever you,
I might actually listen to that then.
Yeah. Oh, he wants you on it.
I want you on it. Yeah. Okay, I got Morgan Housel seeping out my ears right now. Yeah.
Huge Morgan Housel fan. Love Morgan Housel.
All right, we got to get Nick out. I'm being presumptuous when I say the Cape. You're not bringing the family to Saudi Arabia at the end of June for Cena versus Punk? Take the girls to Riyadh in Saudi Arabia.
Is Jericho going to make an appearance? It's like, and if Tony will let him out of his contract, maybe he'll show up.
Jericho shows up with the list. So, that would be tremendous.
So Cena Punk in Saudi Arabia, huh?
Yeah.
What do the fans think about the Cena heel turn? How's that going? They, I haven't really paid too much attention.
He's embracing it, and so the fans are very much embracing telling him how much he sucks. Okay. So, so it's going just fine as far as WWE is concerned.
Great.
All right, awesome. Nick, we know we got to get you up and out of here. Have a great summer. We will be talking to you at training camp, and we are all, I think I speak for the audience, we are all very much looking forward to this season of Texans football.
Thanks, fellas. Always appreciate the time. Enjoy the summer.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate you. That's Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Caserio. All right, a few things that we can circle back to that he had to say, and we'll get to some J.J. Watt as well on the other side. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.